It is good to speak to you again today. And we continue to meet by way of the internet. I think this is our fourth Lord's Day that we've done this, and it's going to be several other Lord's Days before we can meet together again. But at least we can meet together like this, and it makes us even more appreciative of those opportunities that God willing we will have when we can gather together as a congregation and worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. If you have difficulties with the receiving the broadcast by sermon audio, also keep in mind you can go to Facebook and go to the church website and Facebook or YouTube, and in case you lose the signal. I'm going to begin the service today by reading the last of the Psalms, Psalm 150. This is a magnificent piece of work the Spirit of God gave to, I suspect, David to write. But it is, we're instructed to praise Jehovah. In fact, we find 13 times in this psalm, we're instructed to praise our God. And it's kind of interesting that in this psalm, we're told how he is to be praised. And we're also instructed for what reasons he is to be praised and where he is to be praised. And those who should be praising him. So, may God enable us this morning to worship him and praise him. And I'm sure you're aware of the fact that the statement, praise ye the Lord, is literally hallelujah. And this is how the psalm begins. And this is also how it ends. Well, you read with me as I read it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psalter in the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, and praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then that word, hallelujah, or praise ye the Lord. That's a blessed psalm, isn't it? It's a good way to begin service this morning. Let's bow our heads together. It is with thanksgiving, our Father, that we can we draw near to you through the sacrifice and the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have access into the Holy of Holies, and we go in to fellowship, O God, with thee through Christ Jesus. And we can stay in your presence because we've been made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Our Father, we thank you that you are God indeed, and the governor of the nations, and all things are under your dominion, and all things are under your control. We thank you and bless you that you're the God of creation, and you're the God of divine providence, and you're the God of our great salvation. It is only fitting that we should render praise unto Jehovah. And Lord, we seek to do that today. I ask for each of the ones who are watching, as well as the few of us who are gathered, Lord, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Lord, these are unusual days, to say the least, in which we live. We recognize the hand of providence in all that is going on. And Lord, you're sending forth this virus. It is having a tremendous effect upon, everything. And yet, it has no effect upon our relationship with God. We're safe in the Lord Jesus. He is indeed our shelter in the time of storm. We rejoice in Him. And though others about us are fearful, and certainly all of us are being cautious, yet, Lord, we know that you're with your people, and you're working all things together for our good. For you have yourself called us according to your purpose, and you love us with an everlasting love. And so let us be at peace. Let us be restful in the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Lord, the Savior said to his disciples, "My peace I give unto you." And we ask that he would give that same sort of peace to each of these, your people. We ask that you would hedge us about, protect us, those of our congregation, their families. Father, we ask that you would be protective of all of us and of our loved ones, if it would please you. That is, be protective of us physically. Others, our dear friends, our brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus, these who watch, others who are your dear children, Lord, we all commit ourselves to your care, and we're thankful we're safe in your everlasting arms, and we hide under the shadow of your wings, and there we find shelter from every storm, and there we're close to your heart, and nearer to you we certainly cannot be, for we're in the person of our Lord Jesus. We're hidden in Him. Thank you for the blood of redemption. Thank you that you have put away all of our sins by the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. Oh, what a glorious Savior is ours, and how we long to trust Him more fully. He has shown Himself multitudes of times to be most trustworthy. And Lord, forgive us when we're fearful, and forgive us when we doubt, and forgive us in times of unbelief. And we shall always rejoice and be thankful that though we are unfaithful, and that's to our regret, yet you abide faithful still. We lean on you, O our God. We're thankful you're our Father. And you have adopted us into your family. And even now we are the sons and daughters of God. Speak to those who are sick. Hedge them about and, Lord, strengthen them, if you will. Our dear ladies in the nursing home, Lord, we pray that you'll encourage them and lift their spirits. So thankful for all of our congregation. Lord, we took for granted the times that we met together, and now we miss them so much. And we ask that if you would remove the scourge upon our nation as quickly as you're pleased to do so, that once again we may gather together and enjoy each other's fellowship, and then join our hearts in the worship of our God. Lord, forgive us for our sins. We ask that you'll be with us now as we continue the service. And as the word goes forth, Lord, we ask for liberty. We ask for strength and ability to set forth that which you've given to us. And may all of your children be blessed today. Father, magnify your great name. Magnify the name of our Savior. And indeed, as the psalmist said, it is our goal to praise the Lord in our hearts and in our spirits. These things we ask in the name of our Savior and for his sake. Amen. Is divine. Thank you, Susanna. That song was written by a brother many years ago, and I put it in the bulletin this week, and I always appreciate the writings of Horatius Bonar. And if you want to receive the bulletin and you don't receive it now, then you can contact the church office and we can send it to you by email, or we can actually mail you a hard copy and you can get the bulletin. I still put a song in each week, and I felt led to put that one in this week, and it's in our black folder, so those of you of our congregation would perhaps recognize it, and I appreciate Susanna reading it for us, or singing it for us this morning. Well, I want to begin in Luke this morning, and if you would go to the last chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 24. Now, I'm not going to give much of an introduction to this portion of Scripture because I referenced it. It hasn't been too many services ago. But you'll recognize this. Our Lord Jesus has appeared to his disciples. He has eaten with them to indicate to them that he was indeed real, that he had risen. This is the one who was sacrificed according to the purpose of God for his own. And he has been raised again. And now he is revealing himself to his many of his followers. But I just want to focus in on verse 44. And then I'm going to take you back to the Psalms. This is what he had to say to them. Luke chapter 24, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. Or literally, this is the fulfillment of exactly what I told you was going to happen. He often spoke of his death, of his sufferings, of what the religious leaders would do to him, and that then after his death he would be raised again. So he says, all of the things that have happened, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you. And he ministered to them for nearly 3 years. And he says, these were the things that were written in the law of Moses. And of course, that would be the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Among the Jews, that was the first division of the Old Testament, generally referred to in the Scriptures as the law. And then he says, and in the prophets. And of course, that's the second and the largest portion of the Hebrew Bible. And then he says, and in the Psalms. The Psalms. And then he says, concerning me. You know, when we think about the Psalms, and of course we've been in Psalm 91, if you've been following the last few messages, have been dealing with Psalm 91, and though I'm not going to go back to that this morning, I will go back to it this evening. But as we look at the Psalms, and there are 150 of them, and of course the Psalms is the largest book of the Bible, it's like a rich gold mine. It's full of much truth and grace concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Evangelical truth, and I say full of it. It's all the truth of God, and it presents to us the gospel of the grace of God and our Lord Jesus. Now, certainly the Psalms express the personal feelings and experiences of all the children of God. And we often relate to the psalmist, and we go to the Psalms in times of difficulty, times of sorrow, times of death. We go to the Psalms, and we get from the Psalms much-needed comfort and instruction and peace that God gives us, whatever our trials may be, whatever our difficulties may be, we can find an appropriate passage in some portion of Scripture in the Psalms. But here's the main thing about the Psalms. They set forth our Lord Jesus. There's no question of what they deal with our experiences, and we can relate to David or Asaph or Moses or whoever the writer happens to be. We can be very appreciative of the things that they have to say, and they speak much peace to our hearts, but mainly the Psalms speak to us of our Savior. It reminds me of the words of John chapter 5 when the Lord Jesus said, "These are they," talking about the Scriptures, "these are they that testify of me." And this is true of the Psalms. And I sat down and just made a listing of the blessings of the Psalms in setting forth our great Redeemer. And I'll give them to you very briefly. I don't have time to make any comments on them. This is a message in itself, but it will just be the introduction to this message. He's set forth as the great Creator. Psalm 102:25. "Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth." And then it sets forth his incarnation. Psalm 40. He said in verses 7 and 8, "Lo, I come." And of course, you'll recognize these words because they're also quoted in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, thy law is within my heart." And then we see in the Psalms, he's the Son of God. Psalm 2, verse 7. The Father said, "Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." And then this one who is our Savior, in his manhood, he was absolutely perfect. And we see that right from the beginning of the Psalms in Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffers or the scorners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." This is our Savior. Now, indeed, this is what we endeavor to do, but we don't always meditate upon the things of God, the person of God, and the attributes of God, and the character of God. And we don't always walk in the counsel of the Lord. We walk sometimes in the counsel of the wicked. We shouldn't do that. But our Lord Jesus, he's the perfect man. See, this is what qualified him, at least this is partial, the qualification of him being the Savior. He's the perfect man. But also the fact that he's the Son of God. And then we find in Psalm 69 and verse 4, he was hated without a cause. They hounded him all of his life. We find in Psalm 69, again, he came to render honor to the law of God. Psalm 69 verse 4 says, "Then I restored that which I took not away." And we know he was very keen always to do the will of God and to glorify God. Psalm 69 and verse 9, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And you'll remember in the second chapter of John when our Lord was in the temple and he turned over the money changers' tables. The disciples remembered that portion of Scripture from Psalm 69. "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And then, of course, we know he's set forth in the Psalms as being crucified. Psalm 22 and 16, "They pierced my hands and my feet." And we know he finished salvation as it is also set forth in Psalm 22. Do you remember how Psalm 22 began? I'm sure you do. "My God, Why hast thou forsaken me? And then we get all the way to the end of the psalm. In the 31st verse, it says, and they shall come and declare his righteousness unto people that shall be born, that he hath done this, or literally, that it is finished. It begins with his words of agony upon the cross of Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it ends with his words of victory. It is finished. And then it speaks of his resurrection. Psalm 16 and verse 10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And you'll recognize that passage of Scripture because this was what Peter used on the day of Pentecost in Acts the 2nd chapter. And then we read of his ascension. Psalm 24, of course. When the King of Glory entered into heaven, the words echo out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And then there's his exaltation and his enthronement. Psalm 2, verse 6. God said, I have set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Christ is the head of the church. He's been exalted because he finished the work of redemption. As it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, this is out of Psalm 110, set thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And then we find out in the Psalms, he's the object of worship. And he's the object of our confidence and trust. Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Now listen to this part. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Do you trust him? See, the second psalm instructs us to trust Christ Jesus. And blessed, forever blessed and favored, highly favored, are those who trust the Lord Jesus. He's the foundation rock of our salvation. You get your concordance and you look at how many times the word rock is used in the book of the Psalms with reference to our Lord Jesus. Like Psalm 62 and verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Psalm 118 and verse 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And this is the one, this Savior, our Lord Jesus, he's the one who effectually draws people unto himself. Psalm 110 verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Thy power. And he's the one who makes his people righteous. Psalm 45 and verse 13. I love this. It says, the king's daughter is all glorious within, for her clothing is of wrought gold. You see, we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then judgment belongs to him. This is set forth in the Psalms. Psalm 1:6, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Psalm 9, verse 8, he shall judge the world in righteousness. What does that remind you of? The words of the apostle when he spoke in Athens on Mars Hill, and he talked about Christ Jesus being the one who will judge the world in righteousness. And then Psalm 68, verse 23 says, thy foot shall be dipped in the blood of thine enemies. So here's what the Psalms do. They present to us the Lord Jesus as the great creator. So this means he's from everlasting. And in the Psalms, the David and Moses and Asaph and Solomon, and if there are any other writers of the Psalms, and I forget them, but it's the Spirit of God, takes us from before the beginning of time establishes our Lord Jesus as being the everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He establishes that, and then it takes us all the way into the eternity in the future and says that he's the judge of all men. And right in the middle, it presents to us, especially in Psalm 22 and Psalm 69, it presents to us that event of all events, the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Little wonder then that the Savior said in the Psalms concerning me. And he began to break open. You know, I've listed these things that have to do with our Savior. And I've tried to do it. I'm certainly accurate in the scriptures that I've quoted to you. There are many, many more scriptures that I could give to you. But can you imagine what it was like for those disciples when the Lord Jesus broke open the Word of God to them and he said, here I am set forth in the Psalms. And he started undoubtedly right from the first of the Psalms and goes all the way to the end. He's the man who's blessed. Blessed is the man who's the perfect man. He doesn't walk according to the wickedness of the world. And he goes from that all the way to the end of the psalm, praise ye the Lord. From beginning to end, they're all of our Lord Jesus, all of the psalms. And oh, how absolutely instructive and thrilling it must have been for his disciples as they see him. And he says to them, you touch me and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. Do you have anything to eat? And then as they ate, he began to break open for them the bread of life. And he set forth himself from the first five books of the Bible, from all the prophets, and from the Psalms. And I don't know how long that service lasted, but I'm sure they were on the very edge of their seats as the Savior made himself known from the Old Testament scriptures. And of course, we know there are a multitude of other passages that I don't have time to go to. He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep in Psalm 22. He's the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Psalm 22 is about the death of the shepherd. Psalm 23, I should say, is about the great shepherd. He ever lives. In Psalm 22, he's pictured as laying down his life as the good shepherd for the sheep. But he didn't stay dead in Psalm 23. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's alive. And he ministers to me and he ministers to all of his sheep. And he's the chief shepherd, Psalm 24, who's coming again. Now of the Psalms, we know this, there are 150 of them. And the word psalm in the Hebrew means song of praises. And each one is indeed, there are 150 songs of praises. And this is exactly what you see throughout the Psalms, the praise of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. And many years ago, back in Old Testament times, the rabbis apparently divided all of the Psalms into five books. Now here's the title of this message, The Five Books of Psalms. That's the title of this message, The Five Books of Psalms. And they broke the Psalms down into these five books for instruction for the children and also for the adults. When one of the rabbis or the priests would meet with the young people, they would say, now this, perhaps it's a semester, we're going to be studying book one of the Psalms. And those students would know immediately he's talking about Psalm 1 through 41. Or they might say, one of the rabbis might say to the congregation, for our studies in the next several Sabbath days, we're going to be studying book number 2 of the Psalms, and that would be Psalm 42 through 72. Or they might say, we're going to be studying Psalm 73 through 89, book 3. Or book 4, Psalm 90 through 106. Or maybe book 5, Psalm 107 through 150. This is the way the Psalms were broken down into 5 distinct books. Now, some have said that the first book, Psalm 1 to 41, that's the Davidic Psalms. And that's what the rabbi said, although David wrote more than that, but that's how they break it down. The book 1, the Davidic Psalm, the second book, Psalm 42 to 72, the Levitical Psalms, having more to do with offerings and that sort of thing. Book 3, 73 to 89, that's the Psalms in the time of King Hezekiah. Book 4, Psalm 90 through 106, that's the Psalms before the captivity. That's before they went into captivity. And then book 5, Psalm 107 to 150, those are the books, that's the Psalms after the captivity. Now, in each of these 5 books, and this is what I've been studying. I was studying again from Psalm 91, and as I'm going to do this evening, I was looking back at Psalm 90, and I noticed that Psalm 90 begins book 4. And then that got me interested in these books. And this is what I have discerned, that as you go through all of the Psalms, and you go through these 5 books, they list for us or present to us distinct, 5 distinct things about our Savior. Now remember, he's the one we're looking for. And like I've said before, I know that the experience of the psalmists are they certainly minister to us in our times of need and times of tribulation, persecution, sorrow, death. When we're on our deathbed, we get a lot of comfort from the psalms. But mainly, they're speaking to us of our Savior. Now let's look at these, and I'll be brief with them, because I'll have to be. Book 1, this is Psalm 1 through 41. And by the way, let me also throw this in for you. Of these 5 categories, each ends with amen or hallelujah. That's how each of the books end. They end with amen, that is, so be it, verily this is the truth, or praise ye the Lord, which is hallelujah. What about book 1? This is Psalm 1 through 41. Well, this book tells us the Lord Jesus is with and beside his people. He's with us and he's beside of us. And I think that one of the key psalms in this, if you would go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, where David writes of the shepherd, and he reminds us that he's with us. He's beside of us. You'll notice here he says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah my Savior. He's my shepherd. I've already said he's the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd whose blood was the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the chief shepherd, as Peter says, who'll come again and receive us unto himself. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. I lack nothing. I've got everything in Christ Jesus. He has made of God unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I am complete in him. He says he makes me to lie down in green pasture. Well, how does he do? Why? In what way does he do that? Or by what means does he do that? Well, he's with us. He's with us. He's not a shepherd who's way off. He's a shepherd who's with us. And he makes his sheep to lie down in the green pastures of his word. And when it says he makes us, it shows his sovereign authority. And he leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He saved me. That's what David's saying. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the theme of this first book. He's with me. He's with me. Listen, he was forsaken by God. That's the previous psalm. He was forsaken by God because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And God poured out his wrath on him. He was forsaken, and now our Savior, he is with us even in the valley of the shadow of death, and he will never forsake us. The shepherd will never leave nor forsake his sheep. Thou art with me. That's what he says. He's right there beside of you. You who are the sheep of his pasture. You who love him. You who believe him. You who have been effectually brought into the fold of salvation. You who beheld his glories. You who've trusted him. You who see in him the very glory of God. And you come to see that by his substitutionary sacrifice, God made you whole. God made you righteous. He's your shepherd. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, even if you're on your sick bed, he is with you. He's beside of you. Now, notice how book 1 ends. Go over to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Look at verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Don't you bless him for the fact he's with you and he's beside of you? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I'll eulogize his name. I'll praise the name of Christ Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So be it. Verily. And then we get to book 2. Psalm 42 through 72. And here the theme, I believe, is set before us in Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And here is the theme of this book too. Our Lord goes before us. He goes before us. Just like God said to Israel concerning the angel of the covenant. He said this to Israel as they came out of Egypt. My angel, he will go before you. He'll go before you to prepare all things for his people. Look at Psalm 68. Look at verse 7. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, Think of that. He went before them. He's paving the way for them. They're not without a guide. They're not without a leader. He went before them, and He goes before you, clearing out the obstacles, bringing whatever He deems necessary into your path. He puts it there. It may be health, it may be sickness, whatever it is, what trial, trouble, tribulation, peace, joy, whatever it is. He goes before His people and He puts it in our path. Notice, when thou didst march through the wilderness. He marched through the wilderness, and we're in a wilderness journey ourselves, and we follow Him. Verse 8, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of Thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. That published the gospel, that published the good news. The Lord is with us, and He goes before us. He went before us into death. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He went before us into the tomb. He went before us out of the grave, before us, and He's gone back to heaven. He told His disciples that He was going away. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. I'm going. And He who went to die for us and who arose for us, He's gone ahead of us to glory as our forerunner. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Jesus, our forerunner, has entered in. He has staked a claim to heaven in our name. He's the one who goes before us. Why, He went before us preaching the gospel. The very first thing that's said of Him in the Gospel of Mark is He went forth preaching the gospel. And as He went forth preaching the gospel, we follow Him. That's what I'm doing today, preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And others of God's servants doing exactly the same thing. He went before us. And notice how book 2 ends. Psalm 72. Go to Psalm 72 and verse 17. You'll love this. Psalm 72, 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him, not out of Him. No blessings out of Him. Men shall be blessed in Him, and all nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. So be it. Let Christ be glorified. And all the saints of God say, amen. And amen. And then we get to the third book. The Lord continues to speak. And the Spirit of God writes of Christ Jesus. And this sets forth His works. His works on our behalf. There are several verses I could give you. Let me just read them to you quickly. Psalm 73, 28. I give you several verses here. We'll just touch on them. 73:28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all Thy works. Psalm 74, verse 12. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Isn't that what he did? Didn't he work salvation in the midst of the earth? Didn't he come down here to seek and to save his people? Is his name not Jesus? He shall save his people from their sins. That's the work he came to do. Look at Psalm 75 and verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Oh, we declare his work of making everything, creation, his work of ruling everything, providence, but especially that work of salvation. Look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77, 11 through 12. Psalm 77, 11 through 12. I will remember the works of the Lord. He says, surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work. I'll talk of all thy doings. We don't talk about our doings, because our doings, though we're to be obedient, we seek to be, though we do good works, we seek to do them, but our doings aren't worth speaking about. Our doings aren't worth noting. Our works aren't worth drawing any attention to. But we do meditate on all God's work, all the works of Christ Jesus. For his was a work of redemption. His was a work of reconciliation. His was the work of restoration. And then look at Psalm 78 and verse 4. We will not hide them, the sayings of the Lord, will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. His wonderful works. Do you remember, and I know you do remember, in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God was given and those men went forth preaching the gospel in languages they'd never studied, the people were amazed because this is what they said. We do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. That's what it said. The wonderful works of God. And oh, there's no work more wonderful than the work of salvation. Our Lord Jesus was our surety. He received us as a gift from the Father. And then he came into this world, the incarnate God, made bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And he endured all the wrath of men and then all the wrath of God to save us from our sins. It was his work. How often did he say, I've come to do the work of him that sent me? And then in John 17, he said in his high priestly prayer, I finished the work you gave me to do. Again in Psalm 78, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Verse 11, but they forgot his works and the wonders that he showed them. Oh, let's us not forget the works of our Savior. And then look at Psalm 86 and verse 8. 86 and verse 8. Among the gods, there's none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. This book, this third book, is about the continual works of the Savior on the behalf of his people. And he still works for us. You remember again in John chapter 5 when our Lord had healed the man who was lame 38 years. He healed him and then he went into the temple, our Lord Jesus did, and found him. And he revealed himself to that man. And the man immediately went out that he couldn't help but tell what he knew. He said, the man who healed me was Jesus of Nazareth. And then, of course, the Jews were very upset. They were upset because he had healed this man on the Sabbath day. And they went to our Lord Jesus, and he said unto them, my Father worketh hitherto. And what did he say next? I work. And of course they were upset because he claimed equality with God. He worked. And he's still working for us. Not the work of redemption. Now that's finished. And not the work of reconciling us to God. That's over. Not the work of bringing in righteousness. That's been accomplished. But the work he's doing now is working all things together for good of his people. Who's doing the working? He is the Savior. No wonder this third book of the Psalms ends in Psalm 89. And I don't have the time to go through here, but look what he says after relating many things about our Savior, the Son of David, and the covenant of grace, and the certainty of the salvation of the seed of the Lord. Look at verse 52. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be God our Savior forevermore. Amen. And amen. And then we get to the fourth book, Psalm 90 through 106. And here we have the Lord above all. The Lord above all. Look at Psalm 97 and verse 9. Psalm 97 and verse 9. For thou, Lord Jehovah, our Savior, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. He's high above all things. That means he governs. That just means he reigns. Look at Psalm 99 and verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion. Zion, that's the church of Christ Jesus. That's the church of the redeemed. And he is high above all the people. He's high above all the people of the earth. And he's high above all of his people. And we recognize his exaltation, and we worship him. Look at Psalm 103 and verse 11. Psalm 103 and verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. This is the exaltation of our Savior. He's above all. In all of this current crisis we're facing, never forget, he's above all. He's above the virus. He's above the leaders. He's above all. He's directing all things to the end that he has purposed. No wonder the psalm closes this way, Psalm 106. Look at verse 43. Of the children of Israel, it says many times, Psalm 106, 43, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant. It always goes back to the covenant. And he repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord, our God, O Jehovah, our Savior, our God, and gather us from among the heathen. And that's what he's doing by his effectual call of grace through the preaching of the gospel. He's gathering us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So we have in book one, he's beside his people. He's with his people. Book two, he goes before his people. Book three, he's always working for his people. Book four, he is above all people, but especially above his people, working as the reigning God. And then book five, Psalm 107 to the end, he is among his people. He's among his people. Turn to Psalm 107. This is what a marvelous psalm. Here are four pictures of the redeemed sinners. He's among us, number one. I give you four things here because it breaks down in the psalm. Number one, he's among us as the one who finds the lost. That's verses 4 through 8. I don't have time to read. You read them later. Don't read them now. Read them later. But he is among us as the one who finds the lost. Did he not say in Luke chapter 19 when they were questioning as to what was the reason he went home to the house of Zacchaeus? He said, the Son of Man, he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's among his people as the shepherd who finds the lost sheep. Luke chapter 15 tells us that. He finds those who are lost. And then verses 9 through 15, he's among us as the one who sets the prisoners free. We're held by the law of God, which has a just accusation against us. But he came to free us. He's among us as the one who came to free us. He came right down here where we live to liberate the captives, to free us from the evil one, and ultimately to free us from the very presence of sin. But he did free us from the very penalty of sin. He bore that awful penalty himself. And then the Lord is among us as the great physician to heal the sick, verses 17 through 22. And do we not read later on in this psalm, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He's among us as the one who heals us. He heals us. How does he heal us? Well, Psalm 53 answers that. With his stripes, we're healed. Healed of our spiritual diseases. And many times he's pleased to heal us of our physical diseases. So he is among us as the great physician to heal the sick. And then, fourthly, in verses 23 through 31, he's among us as the one who rescues the endangered ones. Verses 23 through 31. Let me read verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down into the depths. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Does that not remind you of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee? They were at their wits' end. And verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm to be absolutely a calm. And the waves, he makes them to be still. He said to his disciples, why do you doubt? And then he spoke to the winds and the waves, peace, be still. You see, he is among his people. I know the disciples there on the Sea of Galilee were in that ship, but who was among them? Who was with them? The Savior was. Hey, you can't perish in the good ship of grace. And you can't perish because the captain is on board. Now, there's going to be some storms. There's going to be some troublesome times for the people of God. But the ship of grace isn't going down. And the captain of our salvation, he has the ability, if it's his will, to speak to every storm in your life and say, peace, be still. And if he's not pleased to speak peace to the storm, he can speak peace to your heart. And we always want to remember, he is among us. He's among us. And that leads me to the end of this book 5, back to Psalm 150. Back to Psalm 150. And the very last verse says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he reigns? This is our Savior. Let me give him to you again. The Lord Jesus is beside his people. He's always near. How near is he? He dwells in you, and you dwell in him. You dwell, remember our text in Psalm 91? In the secret place of the Most High. Number two, the Lord Jesus goes before us. And therefore he says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Number three, the Lord Jesus is always working for his people. Always working. And he's still working. And all that's going on today, it'll work with everything else for the good of the people of God. Number four, the Lord Jesus is above his people, and he's above all things. Oh, he's high and lifted up, and he reigns over everything. And number five, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, Christ, is among his people. He's among his people to find us when we're lost, to liberate us when we're prisoners, to heal us when we're sick, and then number four, to be with us through the storms of life and rescue us. That's the five books of the Psalms. And they set forth our Lord Jesus so beautifully. God help us to trust him, to magnify his name. And we'll meet again this evening at 6:30. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, our Father, for the privilege to meet together. And thank you for such a magnificent Savior. Oh, how saturated this entire book of God is. And as with all the books of the Bible, so the book of Psalms. And every page, every psalm, all 150 of them, they magnify our Savior. Yes, they speak peace to us, and the writers of the Psalms, they present to us their experiences, their feelings. With absolute honesty, they made known to us their heart's desires and the griefs and the pains that they bore. And we can enter into these things, and we're blessed as we're reminded that the Lord was with them and so is with us. But mainly, through the Psalms, we see our Savior. Oh, how we worship him. And our closing words this morning are these. Amen and amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. For Christ's sake, amen.